Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Mark Chessel. Mark lectures and consults around the world about strategic thinking, advanced business war games, and strategy simulation. He holds an MBA from Harvard and a bachelor's from Yale. He's the lead author of Strategy Analysis with Value War, published by Scientific Press, and articles, book chapters, and case studies on competitive strategy have appeared in such publications as PC World, the Journal of Business Strategy, and Competitive Intelligence Magazine. He has also authored two other books, Nice Start, Questions Only You Can Answer to Create the Life Only You Can Live, and Marvelous Techniques, Essays on Going Beyond Strategy as We've Known It. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Mark.
Thank you, Karma. It's great to be here.
Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Sure. It's been really fun developing I really like the way you talk about it as a superpower in public speaking. It's been quite a journey to do that. Now, in the work that I do, working with companies and also doing workshops on personal growth, I have to do a fair amount of public speaking. When I started off with that, it was not something that I enjoyed. So I remember that there were a number of hurdles that I had to overcome to do it. First of all, well, it goes without saying that you have to have something to say that people want to listen to, but let's assume that that's there. Hurdle one that I had to get past was to talk, not read. When I started off, I believed that I had to have every word prepared in advance. First speech, which was all of 15 minutes long, I had neatly typed and placed on the podium. I sounded like a robot. Actually, it was worse than that. I sounded like a frightened robot because I was clutching the podium like it was a life preserver whenever I wasn't turning the pages. So talk and don't read. The second hurdle I had to get past was what I looked like. There was a course that I took in business school in which they were teaching us to do presentations, and I had the opportunity to watch myself on videotape. That can be a scary thing. I noticed that what I did was I would plant my feet on the ground, and I would root myself like a tree, and then I would just sway in the breeze.
And oh, no.
Yeah, it's not attractive. And it's sort of like a robot swaying in the breeze. So that was something I had to get past. So there you just move around, and it's a lot easier on the speaker, actually, because you get some energy and it keeps you loose, and it's easier on the audience because they get to move their eyes and move their heads. It's more engaging for them. The third thing that I did was I decided to learn from the best. After getting past hurdles one and two, I was reasonably articulate and not falling on my face anymore, which was an improvement, but it's hardly success and hardly a superpower. So I started to watch an excellent speaker with whom I often share at the stage and watched what he did because he was fantastic. He was constantly in motion. I watched the way that he interacted with the audience. He never used a laser pointer, and I asked him why. So many speakers use laser pointers. It looks like it's an easy way to keep the audience in the right place. And he said, no, it's a terrible thing. But think about what happens when you use laser pointer. You turn your back on the audience, and you focus the audience's attention on the screen instead of on you. So what he would do instead was sometimes he would literally run to the screen. I don't go quite that far. I will walk briskly, but you actually go up to the screen, put your hand on the screen if you want to put the audience's attention on something on the screen, and then turn and face the audience. That way they're focused on you and not on the screen. A corollary to all that is to get rid of the glitz. A lot of what I've seen there, what I was talking about essentially learning to do an impersonation of this speaker who I thought was terrific, I also decided not to do an impersonation of the people who I thought were not effective speakers. Mm-hmm. What a lot of them do is they have all these fancy PowerPoint effects that make things pinwheel onto the screen and make funny noises. It's a distraction. The audience is intent on what you're saying, and then you make some kind of funny noise. That's what it's like.
I can see it being done in very sparingly. It would have to be very strategically done, but that's not how it's usually used.
Exactly. We've all seen movies where the special effects are there just for the sake of special effects. And we've seen other movies where you almost don't even notice that it's a special effect because it's so integral to the movie. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. One other thing is to, I realized that I needed to do and that I hope that I have accomplished, and that is to remember that I'm a human being and you're a human being. Interact with the audience. Move around. It's okay to actually walk out into the audience and face people and talk to them directly, make eye contact with them, ask them questions. I will even tease the audience from time to time, gently. You have to be careful with that. There's a fine line between teasing an audience and insulting an audience, and you always want to err on the side of teasing. But when you do that, it works, and it helps me relax, it helps the audience relax, and when people are relaxed, the minds are open, everybody has a good time, people learn more, and they enjoy the presentation. And by the time I've done all that stuff, I've been getting fantastic ratings now for my audiences, and I'm having a great time doing my public speaking. I just love it. And just one other thing about it, it's strange, but I still get stage fright before every single presentation. I'm always nervous, and I learned that it's part of how I work, apparently, and I've learned not to worry about it. I figure it helps me stay on my toes, and so what if I'm a little scared? It goes away as soon as I'm up there and I face the audience and say, hello, audience.
Well, if it's any consolation to you, most of the speakers I've been speaking with have the same thing. In fact, some have said if you don't feel at least a little nervous, then you're probably dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural part of the experience.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me.
So given your story, I kind of have a feeling I know what you're going to say to the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you were born to be able to do, and why?
Well, you predicted correctly. Well, I don't know what it's like to be somebody other than me. I know people who seem to have golden tongues, and there's the people who you're at a party or just somebody you meet, you ask them a question and it sounds like, my God, this is an incredible oration that they're delivering spontaneously. How do they do that? I've met people like that, sure that everybody has. I'm not like that. So I've had to work at it, and I still work at it every time I do a presentation. So yeah, it's a learned skill for me. But the corollary is that it can be learned, and it can be fun. And to get good at speaking in public, you've got to speak in public.
True. Yes, speaking in front of a mirror or in front of your stuffed animals doesn't quite do the same thing.
It's not the same. It helps a lot because we'll probably talk about rehearsal later. But yeah, it does help a lot. And remember that the top performers in any field, whether it's in athletics, in politics, in show business, whatever, they practice all the time. Now, there's a quotation that I came across that I really like. The more I practice, the luckier I get. It's been attributed to both Arnold Palmer and Gary Player, so apparently it must be something about golf. But I think that it works for public speaking, too.
It probably works with any skill.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's actually one other part about learned skills here that I think is important, and that is writing. We may not think about writing as being in the same category as public speaking, but I think that it is. And good, clear, powerful command of the language in writing goes hand in hand with good, clear, powerful public speaking.
Definitely, because they're both expressions of communication.
Exactly, yeah.
So they're very much related.
Yeah, I agree. So it's not just finding the public speakers you want to do the impersonations of, but also the writers you want to do impersonations of.
Yeah, and that reminds me, there is a book by William Binser, I think is how you pronounce his last name, called Writing to Learn. And the premise of the book is basically that you learn something better if you write about it. And taking that analogy into public speaking, it's like you can learn more about the topic that you are speaking about by preparing presentations and speaking about them. And there's something about writing, speaking and learning that really work well with each other and sort of feed upon each other.
I love that. That makes complete sense to me, and that really put words on what I've experienced.
Well, now, obviously I would not have invited you to be part of this program if I didn't think that you were successful in public speaking. And the way I've been putting it in the terms of this project is that if you're successful in public speaking, then you're a public speaking superhero. So you are a public speaking hero, probably more like Batman than Superman because you've had to earn it and work at it. So what do you believe are your main superpowers?
That is a terrific question. I think that it's preparation for both content and delivery. The content that I use is stuff that I really like and that I've thought through over many years. And the delivery practice, and I rehearse, and as a result of those two things together, when I get on stage, I am super excited about what my speech is going to be about. And I just believe this is not a psyching myself up. This is a genuine, it's not some kind of stage trick. I'm genuinely excited about what my speech will be about, and I'm ready to share a great time with my audience.
Yeah, that makes me think. Now, I know for me, I mean, maybe I'm just scattered myself, who knows, but I find that if you start going over a topic too much, if you're prepared too much, it might lose its spark for you and get bored. Have you ever found that happen to you? And if so, how do you deal with that?
If you could see me while we were having this interview, you would see my eyebrows raised pretty high, because my experience is the opposite. I do not feel that it goes stale or that I get bored. Maybe it's because the material that I use is highly interactive, and so when I go through with my audiences, I'm interacting with them all the time, and it's almost like play. It's like a conversation with a large group of people, and I get to see lights go on, and I get to hear them say, "Oh, I never thought of it that way before. That's really interesting." And because it's material that I love,
that's probably the key.
It does not get boring for me. Now, if I had to do a presentation 3 times a day, maybe it would then.
Right. Well, I guess I was just thinking back when I was competing in high school, and my first speech I did was on earthquakes, and I loved it at first. It was really fun speech, but after giving it over and over and over again through competition after competition, I just got bored with earthquakes. But then again, earthquakes aren't my passion in life either. It was just an interesting topic. So that's probably what the key is if you're talking about something that you're really passionate about, you're probably never going to get bored with it.
That's a great point. And if somebody wants to embark on a career that has some public speaking or that is all about public speaking, why would you do it on anything other than what you're passionate about?
Very true. Although you might be surprised how many people have gotten their feet wet doing something that wasn't all that interesting, because I've heard some of those stories.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sure that's true. Just as an example, I'm not going to draw this from one of my speeches, because if we did, I would start to go into the speech and we'd be here all afternoon. This is something that I heard I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the book, but it was a person who was talking about the amount of nuclear arms that are out there in the world. And the way that he did it was like this. He told people, this is what the nuclear stockpiles were like in World War II. And he had a steel pail and some steel ball bearings, and he dropped a single ball bearing into that steel pail, and it made a loud clank. And that by itself was startling. And he said, this is what it was just a little bit later. And he dropped a couple more ball bearings and again at that loud clank. This is what the destructive power of nuclear weapons today is like. And he poured a whole other bucket full of those ball bearings into that bucket. And it was a frightening thing to hear. Extremely simple. I mean, you're just taking steel ball bearings and putting them into a noisy bucket. But I can imagine that he would never get tired of doing that and of seeing the look on people's faces.
Yeah, definitely. So now I'm sure there are many different ways to gain this particular superpower of preparation. What is your advice to someone who wants that to be in their arsenal of superpowers?
Well, I think to prepare well, what I do is two things that sound almost contradictory. One is to work really hard, and the other is to relax. You work really hard to get your content and to learn what works and what doesn't work when you're speaking, and you relax so you sound like an excited human being instead of a frightened robot.
Actually, that makes sense. You really put the intensity into the preparation, but then you can't bring that intensity, at least in not the tension part of it, into the presentation, or you'll just destroy it all.
Yeah, that's true. And I never give the same speech twice. It's always a little bit different. I'm always experimenting a little bit. And that's part of the preparation also. It gives me feedback. What felt good to deliver? How did the audience react when I did something? Feedback, whether it's negative or positive, feedback is always your friend. And there's always going to be somebody in the audience who's just not going to like it for some reason or another. They're having a bad day, or they've got a vested interest in disagreeing with you. But most of the feedback, even the negative stuff, is from people who care enough to tell you what they think. And I've found that really, really useful.
Yeah, definitely. I found just in life, you have to read each negative comment, I guess, with a grain of salt, because some negative comments come to you with love. Others, mm-hmm. not so much. And you need to weed out the not so muches.
Yeah. But
because those not so muches are usually not terribly accurate. They're usually more about the person who gave the negative critique than they are about you.
Yeah. Psychologically, it's really easy and it's really tempting for us to want to tune out the negative feedback. But the negative feedback that, as you say, comes with love is valuable stuff. And that's how we improve. That's how we learn. We try things and we see what works. One other thing about that is...
Yes.
That I think I mentioned before that I rehearse, and I really do want to emphasize that. There was a time early on when I was doing public speaking, I rehearsed a lot. What I was trying to do was to memorize my speech, and then I decided I didn't want to do that anymore because I didn't like the robot stuff, and I thought, well, I know what I'm talking about. But it didn't get better when I stopped rehearsing. In fact, it got worse. So now I do rehearse, but I've taken the pressure off by saying, I'm not trying to memorize this speech. I'm just trying to get smooth with what it is that I want the audience to take away. I'm going to forget some things whenever I do a talk. That always happens. But so what?
Right.
That doesn't matter. The point of the rehearsal is so that you are comfortable with it, not so that you memorize it. And you got to, at least for me, I have to do it out loud. I'll do it in front of a mirror or not in front of a mirror. That doesn't matter. The mirror actually helps, though, because it helps me remember to smile.
Right.
Yeah. But I always rehearse. Doesn't matter how many times I've done it. I always rehearse.
Well, I found when I rehearse presentations is that it's rarely for me to remember what to say. It's usually more for me to remember how to move. It's like I'm programming my muscle memory, and I'm also trying things out. Like, maybe do I want to put a finger up when I say one, or do I want it to be this finger or that finger? And, you know, what will give the best impression, the best impact? Do I want to move here? Do I want to move there? Those kind of things are usually what I rehearse.
That's interesting. I think I've got a lot to learn from you, so can I conduct an interview with you now?
Sure thing. There's a lot of different ways to do the rehearsal. There's rehearsing how you're going to present in a visual manner as well as a vocal manner, because presentations are multifactorial. Things that engage an audience are not just what you say, but how you say it. Do you say it with variety? Do you say it with emphasis? Or do you say it with excitement? Is your voice low, high? Where do you put the emphasis in your sentence? Things like that. Plus, what are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with your legs? Where are you on the stage? Are you off the stage and out by the audience? Those kind of things. All of those things come into play.
That's great advice. Public speaking is a performance.
It is.
The performance, and you're the playwright.
Playwright and actor and director and producer.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your unique perspective and experience with us today on Public Speaking Superpowers.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's really fun. And because I'm passionate about the material itself, I'm passionate about the practice of public speaking. So thank you for letting me sound off on all of that.
You're very welcome. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.